So last week we did Perek Aleph in Hosea. We talked about whether it's literal or not. I do want to point out one more thing that's important about the first Perek, and that is the following. That probably the simpler read of the book is that why did Hashem do this? You just read the book. Why did Hashem do this? Teach a lesson to who? So I would have said to the Jewish people, right? It's symbolic, and definitely when you read like the Abarbanel, and he says, "Oh, obviously it's literal because how else would it impress other people?" Clearly, he thinks that it's about other people. However, if you think it's happening in a vision, or even if you take the Gemara that it did happen, but what does the Gemara say? Why did it happen? Because Hosea turned to God and said the Jews are sinning, right? So you should divorce them. And God said, well, let's see how easy you find it to divorce someone who's promiscuous and had children's of whatever, ill repute. You'd see how easy you find it. Both that literal interpretation of Chazal and at some level the Rambams suggest that this is more for Hosea. Now, he will then convey, but still it's more about Hosea. And in this context, I think it's important to note that there is a discussion in the, really more in the Achronim, what is the difference between Nevi'im and Ketuvim, right? Because you find Nevi'im both in Nevi'im and Ketuvim, and not just that, but the same people appear in Nevi'im and Ketuvim, right? There are stories of David in both. According to Chazal, Shmuel wrote Sefer Shmuel, but he also wrote Sefer Rut, right? Shlomo obviously has books in both. Yirmiyahu has Melachim and Yirmiyahu, according to Chazal, and Echa, right? Some are in Nevi'im, some are in Ketuvim. So what is the difference? What puts one in Nevi'im and Ketuvim? You know I'm in the middle of a chabura, right?
Yeah,
okay.
It's important. No,
okay. So there are different answers given in Rishonim and Achronim. Like the Radak, suggest that it's a difference of the level of prophecy, that Nevuah is higher, Ruach HaKodesh is less. So even if you have different books, so the ones that are Nevi'im are written at the level of Nevuah, and the ones in Ketuvim are written at the level of Ruach HaKodesh, where right, he writes that Nevuah is where right God speaks to you. For most people, they fall asleep. They aren't actively involved. Whereas Ruach HaKodesh, the person, is really the person, right? But he's divinely inspired or something like that. The Meiri, though, gives what I think is a... now, I'll give you others, right? The Netziv writes that Nevi'im are written more in the language of Torah. The Ketuvim are written more in colloquial. Okay, fine.
Until you get to the prophecies.
But the Meiri says the difference is between things that were... a Nevuah is things where the Navi was sent to the Am. Right? And Ketuvim, it might be Nevuah, but they weren't sent to the Am for these things. And Reb Chaim has maybe a parallel one where he says that the Sifrei Nevi'im were things that originally meant to be said, as opposed to Ketuvim that were things that were meant to be written. Right? Now, in Hosea, right, you really see that, where it's very important to think about these goals. Like, why is it written? Is it written... so that Hosea can have prophecy, which at some level is really what Chazal say, at least at the beginning of the book, right? Or is it the focus for other people? Now, in the end of the day, the majority of the book is talking to Am Yisrael, so even if the first parak is about educating Hosea, but once God educates Hosea, now he's capable of turning to the Am, right? Still, you have to recognize that there is that tension at the beginning of the book of who this audience, of the main audience, at least of that the first story, whether it's literal or a dream, is. Yes? Okay, fine. So then we move to Perek Bed, and this is where you get the rectification of this. And now God has mercy, right? Or begins to have mercy. Now, of course, within Chazal's notion, it's, once God has taught Hosea the lesson, and now Hosea can, stand up for the Jewish people because he's learned the lesson, so now he gets to be part of the merciful follow-up, the merciful fix of what happened. Right, definitely, right, in the vision, right? So you'd say, okay, he has the beginning of the vision, he learns his lesson, and now he has the second half. But it's also obviously symbolic of the message that's being sent to the people, which is, it's not obvious that you should get forgiveness, right? But, and again, if you think of the Shoftim cycle, right, it's never obvious that they should get it, because at some point you go round and round and round, but, okay, you're going to get it, God is going to have mercy, and that becomes expressed in the second parak using the same either dream or actual physical acted out metaphor of these children from Hosea. Yes? Okay. So parak bet, this is also the haftarah of what, Parsha?
Wait, what's the
parak bet of Hosea? It's mine, but it's my haftarah. And also the haftarah because I read the Torah at my Ufruf. But as we'll see, not the ideal one to read at your Ufruf. I mean, bar mitzvah, fine. Prostitution and children. It's really not what you want to be reading at your Ufruf. But okay, you know. And my Ufruf, because I got married at my birthday. So I had the same parsha at my bar mitzvah and at my Ufruf. So I leaned it again 10 years later. He did. In fact, and that's why he wishes me a happy birthday and a happy anniversary. And I wish him a happy anniversary all the same day. Yay.
I was born on the same day as my aunt.
It's very nice. Thank you. Yes. It is Bamidbar.
It is Bamidbar.
Yes. Well, Bimidbar, but yes. It is the first Bimidbar, but yes. Because people don't know grammar. I don't know. Whatever. So fine. So Perek Bet. V'haya mispar b'nei Yisrael k'chol hayam asher lo yimad v'lo yisafer. V'haya b'mkom asher yamer lahem lo amiyatem yamer lahem b'nei Yalchai. And it will be that the Jews will be k'chol hayam. Now, obviously, where is this bracha coming from? Avram, very good. Right? Now, this makes a lot of sense because the Jews don't necessarily deserve this yet. Right, but classically, when we invoke Zchut Avot, we invoke Zchut of the Akedah, which are all things we do during the days that are coming upon us now, during Yom Noraim, especially when we don't deserve it, right? So God says, you'll be Kechol Hayam. That's a reiteration of the Brit Avot, which makes sense in a context where we don't necessarily deserve for God to listen. Lo Yimad Velo Yisafer, right? You won't be counted. And you have other versions of this in Yirmiyahu as well. But if you just read the first half of the Pasuk, you might think, okay, God is going to relent, even if you don't deserve it because of Zchut Avot. But in the second half, it sounds like more than that, right? There's going to be a real fixing of the relationship, right? That's what's being predicted because he says it's not just that. But the fact that you'll be a lot of you, again, is evidence of law of, instead of saying lo amiyatem, yamer lahem b'nei Yalchai, right? You will be my children. Now, a point that's important in Tanakh is that you always have to pay attention. There's a lot of metaphors we use to describe the relationship of the Jews and God. I've made this point to you many times. Father, child, husband, wife, shepherd, animal, right? And as I mentioned to you before, Moshe Lichtenstein points out that it's very, very intentional. Because each of these relationships, it's not just different, have certain strengths, quote-unquote, and weaknesses. So, for example, husband-wife has the strength of equality, a certain type of even, as the Rambam describes in the Ein Hilchos Teshuva, as a passionate love, right? The weakness, obviously, is that it can be ended. And, right, marriage, if you commit adultery, if there's treason, you in halacha, you can't get remarried, which is why when that metaphor is used in Yeshayahu,
wait, are we the women in this scenario?
We're the women in this scenario, right? In Yeshayahu, that's why. What do the people say? The people assume that they're not chayv in mitzvot anymore, and what does God have to say to them? Where's your get? Right? Where's your get? Right? So there's a weakness. Calling God a shepherd and us the animal, there's a strength to it. Well, okay. Let's start with the weakness. What's the weakness?
Well, That were...
We're animals, yeah. Right? What's the strength? It means that God is saying he's going to protect us without responsibilities. Because if we're animals, we can't be expected to take moral decisions. So there's a strength and a weakness. Right? Master, servant. What's the strength? There is a certain amount of volition, but... Right? It's, right, right. But there's not like free will, right? You know exactly what to do and that's what you do. Right? Av and Ben, right? It's a, there's a little bit more freedom, but it's more of a, right? It's inalienable. Here, the fact that there isn't evidence yet of tshuva, right, makes it makes a lot of sense that the imagery we're using here is parent-child, right? Because parent-child, its strength is that it's inalienable, right? And that parents forgive their children even if they don't always deserve it, right? Where the same is not necessarily true of a spouse, right? And therefore, the fact that that's the metaphor being used here before we hear the tshuva, which we will later on in the book, right? But at this point, we haven't heard explicit tshuva, so it actually makes a lot of sense that both were invoking zchut avot, but we're also invoking the father-son relationship, which at some level protects us from the fact that we don't deserve it. Okay? V'nikvetzu v'nei Yehuda v'nei Yisrael yachdav v'samu lehem rosh echad v'alu min ha'aretz ki gadol yom Yisrael. And then he says something even more surprising, which is that this future time that he's predicting, not only will they be redeemed in Ami, but what is most shocking, that Yisrael and Yehuda will join again. Right? Remember, at this stage, Yehuda and Yisrael are still divided into two kingdoms. So he says, the future Geula, not only will you come back to my nation, but you will all be part of it. Right? Now, that's not at all obvious. Right? Even the halacha, that's not obvious. Right? It's a machloket in the Mishnah, whether the Aseret Hashvatim will ever come back. Right? We talked about this last year in Shviat. Remember, all the way at the beginning of the year. So he adds this, right, this chidush. And now he says, he renames another, right, another, and he says, Imru lachichem ami, valachotechem ruchama. So instead of lo ami, what do you get? Ami, right, and lo ruchama, you get ruchama, right, mercy instead of no mercy, and not my nation, my nation, right? Well, what would you want? Instead of not my nation, you will now be Gertrude, to take Rabbi Har's example that he always used when I was there. Yes, right? That is very symbolic. You used to be Lo Ami, and now you're Gertrude. Ah, the Heiliger Gertrude. Sprinter and Gertrude. That was always his example. I mean, like, what do you want from me? Okay? Doesn't need to be creative. It's symbolic.
All right, funny thing about Gertrude, so in Chumash class, we had, in 8th grade, we had, like,
Your gears of Chumash is what it is, yeah.
So we had in the back of the class, like, it was used for Navi also. So the Navi class, like, made or maybe not Navi, but like another class made an accurate representation of like the Kohen Gadol and all his garbs. And so I drew a smiley face and then named it Gertrude.
I'm so proud of you. So yeah,
is this saying that in order to get to like that Gula point, you have to like treat your brothers and sisters like this, or that's what's
going to
happen as a cause of
So there is this. Wow. This is so that's another benefit happens to be of the parent-child relationship, is the assumption that there are siblings, right? And yeah, it could be that part of the reason we're invoking the image of parent-son here is because there's also a unification of Yisrael and Yehuda being predicted, and therefore that sibling relationship is also important. Okay, that could definitely be. Okay. But now, we start, before we talk about you have to do tshuva, we just said God will love you again, right? And brit avot, and father-child, and all the wonderful things that imply that it's all going to be good. Then in Pasuk Dalet Tetet Vav, he complicates it a little bit and says, it's not quite that simple. And this is where he tells them, you know, turn to Imchem, your mother, and rebuke her. Now, it's not clear why using Imchem. It could be because we're already talking parent-child. It could be because of the imagery of the mother in the first perek, right, who is the prostitute, who is therefore the epitome of sin in this. But now we get, listen, you got some mistakes. I need you to Rivu v'Imchem Rivu. Rebuke your mother kihi lo ishti. Va'anochi lo isha. V'tazer zinuneha mipaneha v'n'afufeha mibein shadeha. I am not her husband. And again, remember I told you that weakness of the marriage relationship? That's why here, the one that's telling us we're coming back is the parent-child. Because this is, well, she's a prostitute. She committed adultery. I am not her husband. Goodbye. Let her take her harlotry away and her adultery away from...
her kids?
What? Right? Well, see in one second, right? Now, again, there does seem to be an implication of gerushin here, right? Which is very strong, and that's why you need the balancing factor of the parent-child, right? Because he's saying, rebuke imchem, right? Suddenly the Jews have switched somehow. They're, because they now seem to be the mother, right? Now she's sort of divorced, but they're also children, right? So, you know, you have the complexity working at the same time. There's mixing of metaphors here. Because what will I do? He says, what will I do if she doesn't remove her adulterous ways? Pen afshitena aruma. Nitzaktia kiyom hivalda. Vesamtia kamidbar. Chamidbar. Vishatia keretzia vahamitia batzama. Because otherwise, I'll strip her naked and leave her the day she was born, right?
Yes.
You know, birthday suit. Pshuto kimashmao. And then I will make her life, I will, like a desert, as barren as a desert, and let her die of thirst.
That's what birthday suit means?
Yes.
Oh my God.
The day you were born, when you wore nothing. Where do you think this came from?
I mean, it makes sense. I just never...
When people say they're wearing their birthday suit.
Yeah,
that means
they're
wearing nothing.
I realize it meant naked, but...
The reason is because you're born without clothes.
Now I know.
For all I know, you probably look it up, it probably comes from this pasuk. I would not be surprised. Because there are a lot of these things that come...
I did not think that a phrase like that would come from Tanakh.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. You can look it up. I don't know. And her children, I want to have mercy on them because they're the children of prostitution. Like I said, this was really not the greatest thing to read at your Ufruf. It's just like, my comfort was that no one was listening and no one pays attention or understands the Haftarah. So, you know, Baruch Hashem, right? If they did, it's like,
okay,
really,
I'm not going to look it up.
Really, if I'd thought about it, I would be tempted. One of my chavrusas, I think, actually convinced. There used to be an old minhag Ashkenaz that there was a special Haftarah that you read at an ufruf that had to do with marriage, and one of my chavrusas actually convinced their shul rabbi to let them do it. Really, that's what I should have done, is convince him to let me do that one instead of this one. But okay. What? Oh, so the end is great. Great. And then he continues, Ki zanta imam, hovisha horatam yamra elcha acharei ma'avai nonei lachmi umeimai tzamri ufishti shamni v'shiku yai. Because their mother has been a harlot, she conceived them as, the one who conceived them acted shamelessly because she thought, I'll follow my lovers who give me bread and water, wool, linen, oil, drink. Now, who are these people? Who in the metaphor are these lovers who provide all of this? So probably Avodah Zarah, because one of the major differences between Avodah Zarah and God is, right, are you really just serving yourself? Right, that Avodah Zarah, What are the main gods that they're serving? Baal. Why Baal? Because Baal is the rain god, right? Asherah, because Asherah is the fertility goddess, right? So they're going because they think they can be provided with this, right? That's the problem. Now, there also is a political aspect to this, right? Where, you know, in much of Nevi'im Achronim, you'll see that the Nevi'im will complain about people going after other nations and the spiritual implications of that. But now God says, listen, Lachain, hini nisachet darkeich basirim, vigadarti et gdeira, unitivea lo timtza. And because of this, what I'm going to do is I will set up a hedge with thorns and raise walls against her so she won't find her path. Right, I'm going to make it hard, right? Meaning, I'm not just going to let her get back, right? I'm going to make it hard, right? Now, what's the imagery here? Is it that God is just punishing and that's why we're making it hard? Or is he also trying to dissuade, right? It's part of the point of this punishment to dissuade, to make it harder to get back the lovers. That may be it as well. V'ridfa et me'ahaveh v'lo tasigotam, uvikashatam v'lo timtza. And in fact, if it's dissuading, you'll see that it works at some level because she chases and she can't catch them. She never finds them. So what does she start saying? Well, I'm going to go back to my husband because things used to be better. Right? Right? Why? And what does she realize at that moment that she hadn't considered? Right? She realizes only now when she's having trouble going to Tevet Zara that who really gave her everything? Her husband, God. She didn't realize that I was the one who gave them grain and wine and oil and silver, and they used all of that for the Baal, right? So now he says, it's not just that you didn't recognize it was from me, but you took that which I did give you and used that to worship Baal because you thought Baal is who gave it to you. Correct, and this is obviously double entendre, right? Not double entendre. It's double meaning, yes. But
double entendre is not
right?
Really a sexual
meaning.
Yeah. We had this
conversation
last year.
You're usually using that concept, but yes, it has a, well, it sort of does actually have that meaning here, right? Because they went to the Baal, but they also went to, right, who, right, the one who espoused her, which is the very fancy way of saying Baal, right? Right, because the act of making someone a spouse is sexual, espousing, right? Lachain Ashuv, Lakahti Digani Bito, Vitiroshi Vivado, Vitaltit Simriu Fishti Lachasod et Ervata. Right, and then what will I do? Right, I'll bring back the grain, I will cover her up, right? Right, in place of having her stripped naked. Vata. No, sorry. I will, right. Not yet. Right, God says, but I'm not going to make this so easy, right? Right, because he said, listen, if I weren't going to give back the stuff that would cover her, there's no one who can save her, right? These lovers can't save her from me. Vishbati kol misosacha ga. Right? And if I take away all the grain from her, then she won't have any ability to celebrate. She won't have chagim, right? She won't have Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat, right? She won't be able to do that because she won't have food. And I will, like, destroy her vines and her fig trees, which she thinks, what is she, this is like, the total mix of metaphors. How does she view them?
Supporting her.
She thinks that they were what's an etnan? A gift from a zona, yeah. Right? She thinks that her lovers gave her this stuff as the price for her znut, right? I'm going to destroy them. And I'll punish her for all the days she was with the Baal, right? For forgetting me. So what does God say at this point? Am I going to take her back right away? Not quite. I'm not taking her back right away. First, I'm going to punish her for having thought and not realized that what she had was from me. And I'm going to let her be humiliated and see that, right, that no one can save her. What? So the question is, do you want to stop now because we've been going for a while, or do you want a little bit of happiness before we finish for the day?
We had a little bit of happiness.
Okay, fine. So after God says, okay, I'm going to make things worse, you try to come back to them and make it worse, says, okay. Fine. I will eventually. Okay, then I will speak coaxing to her, and I'll bring her through the wilderness, and I'll speak to her tenderly, right? After I've gotten my anger out, right? As we see elsewhere in Tanakh, Dabru Alev Yerushalayim, God will start saying, okay, I punished you, now it's time to come back. And I'll give her vineyards in the valley of Achor as a plowland of hope. And she'll respond as in her youth when she came up from Mitzrayim, meaning, right, I'm going to start to, right, in this desert is usually bad, right? But he says, but I'll call her from the desert, which is also where right? Lechtecha acharei b'amidbar b'eretz lo zeruah, where it's where you went afterwards in our early days, and you'll remember that, right? And that day, right, on that day when I begin to rebuild our relationship, she will come back to me and I'll help her. First of all, she's going to rename me. Instead, she's going to call me Ishi, my husband, and not Bali, my husband. But there's obviously more going on there. She will call me Ishi.
Not Baal.
Very good. Right? Not, right? She'll stop using Baal where there's that, right? Because remember, it's not just people worshiping Baal. They're also worshiping God and Baal at the same time and hedging their bets, right? As Elio says, right? Posech al shnei ha'sifim, right? Not Potech, Posech, right? The Samach. Posech al shnei ha'sifim, right? So there's clearly a hint to Baal. It's also the fact that Baal is a harsher name, right? Because it also has implications of ownership rather than Ishi. Vasiroti et shmot ha-ba'alim mipia v'lo yizachru od bishmam. And I will remove the names of the Baal from her mouth, and she won't mention them again, right? So there's also going to be this, right? I'm going to, right? Obviously there's some tshuva, but God is clearly, right? Now, how do you deal with the fact that on the one hand, it seems like there's tshuva, on the other hand, God is bringing the tshuva? So the answer in Chazal would be, haba l'tayer v'sayinlo. Now when people start the process, God helps you, right? So he's talking about a time where they'll start the process and God will say, okay, you started, first I punished you, but then I will help you come back. And obviously this play on the word Baal is very important here. V'charati lehem brit b'yom ahu im chayat ha-sedev imo v'ashamayim v'remes ha-adama v'keshev v'cherev u'melchama eshbor min ha-aretz v'ishtavtim lovetach. And I will make a new covenant with them on that day, right? The covenant that I'll protect them from animals and from war, right? None of them, they will be safe in the land, right? Both from people, enemies, and from animals. And then he says, and once we do that, we will actually rebuild the relationship. And this is the only part of the Haftarah that's really good for when, you know, for your Ofruf, which is, right? Ve'erastich li le'olam. Ve'erastich li v'tzedek u'mishpat. V'chesed v'rachamim. Ve'erastich li v'emunah. V'yadad ad Adonai.
And I will.
When you put on your tefillin, right?
Because you're tying God to yourself.
Yes, that's exactly why. Right? And I will, right? I will marry you forever. I will marry you in setting a mishpat, right? With righteousness and justice and with good, with kindness and mercy and with faithfulness. Now, what is he saying here? Now, first of all, why Erisin? Because Erisin is the first stage of marriage.
And then there's the
right?
Sure.
Right? Because there's a renewal. Even if it's not new, there's a renewal, right? Or as I once heard of Lichtenstein, it's not just that it's a renewal, but the point is that the relationship also has a freshness. So even though it's an old relationship, right, we at some level we're always in a relationship with Erisin, right? Chazal make that drasha on the pasuk of Torah Tzivalanu Moshe Morasha Kilat Yaakov Al Tikri Morasha Ela Meorasa. That we're always God's Arusa, right? There's always that newness to the relationship. Then God says, how will we have it? Well, tzedek u'mishpat, because, well, you will keep your responsibilities. And over and over and over in Nevi'im Achronim, the responsibilities of the Jews are to act with tzedek u'mishpat. Why? Because in Breshit Yudchet Yutet, God told Avram, ki yedativ l'man ha-shitzaved b'navet b'ito acharav v'shamru derech Hashem latzot tzedekah u'mishpat. That I chose Avram because he will teach his children to follow tzedek u'mishpat. That's what it means to be godly, right? So they will do that. So they'll deserve the brit avot that we started with, right? And obviously here, by invoking rachamim, we're saying instead of lo ruchama, right, there is rachamim again. And there will be emunah. What's emunah? Faithfulness, right? And you will know that I'm God. Now, of course, v'yadad Hashem in this context is very important because
biblical God.
Yediyah also has a sexual connotation, and therefore, since the imagery here is sexual, it's not crazy that Yadat and Hashem would be knowing God in that way, right? So here you have the that fixing, and then the parak just ends with a chazon ha-geula, with a vision of like what that geula will look like. Vaya bayomahu enenu madonai enen hashamayim v'hem yanu et haaretz. Right, I'll respond to the sky, you'll respond to the earth, right? Meaning, it'll rain, things will grow, right? There's this response between the heaven and earth, right? And as we know, throughout Dvarim especially, what is the symbol that we're doing well and God is punished and God is rewarding us? Rain, right? And consistently, if we're not doing well, it won't rain and things won't grow. So God says, and that they there will. And if it weren't clear to you, the earth will respond by giving grain, wine, and oil, and they'll respond, I'm in Israel. Right? Obviously, here we're using the name of the kid. Right? Uziratia liva aretz vichamti et loruchama v'amarta lo amiatav hu yomar elohai. And then, of course, going back to the kids, instead of loruchama, I will have mercy on you, and you will say, instead of not my nation, you are my nation, and you will accept me as your God. Okay? That is Perek Bet.